What can we learn from our Lutheran forefathers on how to face the challenges of a culture openly hostile to Christianity? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has written a column for the Latest Issues Etc. journal titled For Such a Time as This. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You'll also find Pastor Will Whedon's article on the monthly Psalter, the free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Sanger utilized the ideas of social Darwinism to promote a eugenics plan to eliminate unfavored races, and especially African Americans.
Our culture has been so catechized by feminist ideology that we really have begun to think that dads are somewhat like a cultural appendix. It's nice if you have one, but not particularly necessary.
Just as Jonah was abandoned by God, so I will be abandoned all the more, and that will be for the life of the world. My God, why have you abandoned me? Is the primary link between Jesus and the prophet Jonah.
Jesus made a blood atonement upon the throne, the seat of his cross, that the wrath of God would be assuaged and all of our sins would be covered.
Organic dairy farmers from northern Germany love listening to Issues Etc.
For almost two centuries, liberal Bible scholarship has been trying to tell us something that the Bible can't tell us, who Jesus really was. One of the pillars of that movement, not a Bible scholar per se himself, but really a polymath, Albert Schweitzer, he attempted it. He wrote a book called The Quest for the Historical Jesus, and the Jesus he found, well, didn't look much like the one we see in the Bible. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights will join us to talk about Albert Schweitzer's attempts to psychoanalyze Jesus. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jeroboam and Rehoboam and the division of the kingdom after Solomon's death with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Amy Gehrke, Executive Director of Illinois Right to Life, will be alongside. We'll be talking with her about Planned Parenthood's announcement of a mobile abortion clinic in Illinois and maybe other states. And then we'll round everything off with Dr. John Bombaro discussing the church's culture and identity. He's author of a recent column titled Forging a Sacramental Culture. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517, the Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 60 books, including Crisis in Lutheran Theology. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
Who was Albert Schweitzer?
Well, he was one of the most famous international figures of the 20th century. He received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952, and he was known for three things. He was famous in three realms, had three earned doctorates, one in theology, one in music, and one in medicine. So he was a figure of considerable importance. There is a joke as to Luella Parsons' comment on Schweitzer as being the greatest man who ever lived. She arrives to visit Schweitzer in Lambrane, his hospital in Africa, and Schweitzer says, "Have the crocodiles been fed yet today?"
So tell us about Schweitzer's book, The Quest for the Historical Jesus.
Well, this book dealt with a number of biographies of Jesus that had been done in the 19th century. These biographies were evolutionary biographies, really. They presented Jesus as the epitome of human evolution. Jesus is a kind of ideal figure in all of humanity. And Schweitzer's Quest of the Historical Jesus attempted to get back to what Jesus thought about himself, Jesus' own conception of himself. And it was Schweitzer's opinion that Jesus believed that he was a messianic figure, and his actions could bring about the apocalyptic end of the age. As Schweitzer put it, an early edition of The Quest of the Historical Jesus, he threw himself on the wheel of the world in order to bring about the end. And the wheel turned and crushed him, but this is his glory, that he was willing to do such a thing. All right? So Schweitzer's theology was grounded in the liberal biblical scholarship of the 19th century, 18th and 19th centuries, that certainly wanted to go to the New Testament, but had all sorts of problems with the miraculous and with the divine claims of Jesus.
Why did Schweitzer attempt to psychoanalyze Jesus from afar?
Well, at the age of 30, he was led to go back to school, to go to medical school at the University of Strasbourg, where he had taken his previous doctorates, because he said he no longer wanted to play music give talks. He wanted to serve humbly, all right, to serve humanity humbly. So he went to medical school in order to become a licensed physician, to make it possible for him to serve as a medical missionary, in a sense, in Africa, and to take an MD degree in France. Unlike the United States or Great Britain, it's necessary in your last year to do an academic dissertation and defend it. That means that the recipient gets a genuine academic doctor's degree. He doesn't get just a professional doctor's degree as one receives in the United States, or just a Bachelor of Medicine degree as one receives in England. So Schweitzer needed to choose a topic for his dissertation. And at that time, there were several European psychoanalysts, psychiatrists, who had published articles arguing that Jesus was psychotic, that he had, you know, severe psychotic medical problems. So Schweitzer chose in this short dissertation to refute those so-called specialists who were doing psychoanalysis of Jesus.
How did he proceed in this analysis of Jesus?
Well, what he does really is simply critique the specialists who claim that Jesus has a serious psychosis, and his objection to this is twofold. First of all, he points out quite correctly that any proper psychoanalytic examination involves lengthy sessions with the patient. And obviously, it's not possible to do this with Jesus. Freud recommended 3 years of daily analytic sessions, for example. And obviously, it's not possible to do this kind of thing with historical figures. The level of speculation is very, very high. And that was a legitimate critique on every level. Then Schweitzer's second point was that if one maintains a viewpoint, which in general, within the frame of reference of the ideas of his own time, even though we may disagree with those ideas, that doesn't mean that the person maintaining them is a problem medically or psychiatrically. So Schweitzer's point here is that the people of Jesus' time, the Jews of Jesus' time, were concerned with the end of the world. They were concerned with the Messiah. They were looking forward to an apocalyptic end of things. And the fact that Jesus put himself in that category hardly means that he was crazy, even though today that sort of thing seems that way. Now, Of course, the trouble with that defense is that, as a matter of fact, first, the people of Jesus' time did not present the same view that Jesus presented of himself. This is why Jesus ran into tremendous difficulties with the religious class within the Jewish people. This is why he ultimately was crucified, because he made claims to come with the in the clouds of heaven with all the heavenly host and so forth. And, of course, the Jews of his time didn't believe this at all. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. So, in the first place, Jesus' views were not simply a reflection of the ideas of his own time. But even more important than that, Jesus claimed far more than Jewish messiahship. Jesus claimed to be no less than God Almighty, come to earth to die for the sins of the world. He said, I come to give my life a ransom for many. And he said that the only way to the Father was by belief in him. The whole presentation that Jesus provides is a claim to no less than deity. And therefore, Schweitzer's attempt to defend Jesus as a kind of typical Jewish prophet helping little old ladies across the Sea of Galilee just was not an adequate defense. And it's interesting that in the English translation of Schweitzer's doctoral dissertation, which was published, incidentally, by the Unitarian publisher in the United States, Beacon Press, in that the editorial preface was done by the then president of the American Psychiatric Association, Wilfred Overholser, and Overholser says, I'm not entirely sure that this defense is successful. And of course, it wouldn't be. I mean, if Jesus, in fact, claimed to be God Almighty, and he wasn't, then there's a serious problem. By the way, would you allow me to tell a joke on the program?
Please do.
All right. This is the story of the Lutheran seminarian who goes to do some work at a mental hospital during his vicarage, and he goes into this room, and there's this fellow with a three-cornered hat with his hand in his vest, and the intern has a pretty good idea of who he thinks he is, but he asks, and who are you? The fellow says, Napoleon, bien sûr! Napoleon, of course. And the intern says, but why do you think you're Napoleon? And the fellow says, c'est le bon Dieu qui m'avait dit. God told me. And a voice comes from the other side of the room, I did not. Okay, so if a person thinks he's God and he isn't, then this is indeed a very serious psychiatric problem. Because at the very center of mental health is knowing yourself, of having a clear idea of who you actually are. And if you think you're a bunny rabbit and you're not, then you've got serious problems. And it's even worse if you think you're God and you're not. The only defense possible here is to point out that Jesus had no problems understanding who he was, because he was, in fact, God Almighty.
How was Schweitzer's thesis received?
Well, everybody just loved it. I mean, well, I shouldn't put it quite as strongly as that. Hardly anybody actually read it, because it dealt mostly with criticisms of European psychoanalysts. It was written in German, dealt with German and French psychoanalysts who were even less capable than Schweitzer in dealing with this kind of thing. But because of Schweitzer's reputation, you see, nobody was really willing to criticize him. Even today, now, just before his death, Schweitzer joined an international Unitarian association, all right? And it was pointed out to him that Lutherans, he had been ordained a Lutheran pastor in the Alsace, it was pointed out to him that Lutherans believe in the Trinity and the deity of Christ, and Unitarians don't. And Schweitzer said, well, yes, all right, but did Jesus or Paul believe in the Trinity? I mean, it's perfectly plain that Schweitzer was not a Trinitarian Christian believer. He was a great humanitarian, but he was hardly a Christian believer. And he was lauded as a humanitarian, and he deserved this. I mean, his hospital treated the poor natives in Africa, and his music, you know, he was one of the great interpreters of Bach on the organ. Even though, by the way, in Schweitzer's two-volume treatment of Bach, he doesn't have a clue as to the importance of Luther's theology and Luther's belief in the Trinity and in the saving work of Christ for Bach's music. And yet that was central to it. Schweitzer definitely was not operating as a Christian. He was operating as a humanitarian.
We will talk about Schweitzer's critics and those who agreed with his attempt to psychoanalyze Jesus with Dr. John Wart Montgomery next. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Is there a difference between what different Christian denominations teach? Or is Lutheran, for example, just the flavor of Christianity that you prefer to put in your religious ice cream cone? Is there more to what we believe, teach, and confess? Well, the October issue of the Lutheran Witness took up this very question. What is the difference between Lutheranism and other Christian denominations? To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Albert Schweitzer's psychoanalysis of Jesus with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Luther Academy will be hosting two conferences this month, Justification by the Word, Restoring Sola Fide in the Czech Republic, and Pastoral Care in Times of Unbridled Sin in the Philippines. Learn how you can help Lutheran pastors attend these conferences at lutheracademy.com. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, lutheracademy.com. Dr. Montgomery, what did Schweitzer's critics say about his attempt to psychoanalyze Jesus?
Well, the reviews were positive. The reviews pointed out that he was right, that the critics of Jesus that he analyzed were not correct. But they didn't actually get to the point of looking at what Schweitzer himself thought of Jesus. They didn't do that because they didn't want to get into the theological side of things. That's quite obvious. At that time, most of Western theology, mainline Western theology, was liberal in its theology, modernist. So, for example, there was a review at the University of Chicago Divinity School, and this never deals with the actual real question, which is, who was Jesus? What did Jesus actually say about himself?
Introduce us to the psychological term delusion.
Well, a true delusion is a false conviction, a conviction that is contrary to fact, and which the individual holding it is not influenced by any counter evidence. He rationalizes away or refuses to pay any attention to anything that contradicts this fixed idea that he has. This is the best understanding of delusion today. And, of course, if you apply that to this question of whether Jesus had psychiatric difficulties owing to a delusion, the fact of the matter is that Jesus never stated anything that was contradicted by fact. In fact, indeed, it's quite the opposite. Jesus claimed to be God Almighty. All right, what did he do? He fulfilled prophecies that are all through the Old Testament up into his own time. He performed one miracle after the other. He forgave sin, and the people at that time said, who can forgive sin but God only? And Jesus didn't say, sorry, I didn't really mean that. Jesus accepted that. I mean, all the things that Jesus claimed about himself were not contradicted factually by any events that occurred. And therefore, one cannot consider Jesus as crazy simply because he is making a claim which is unique. There's no question but what Jesus claimed to be God Almighty is unique, except for those who are in insane asylums. But that doesn't establish a delusive personality at all.
How should we evaluate Schweitzer's work in light of modern psychoanalysis?
Well, we should recognize, as Schweitzer correctly said, that there's really no way you could psychoanalyze Jesus when you don't have any opportunity for depth analysis on a personal level. So that's very, very sound. And we should certainly praise Schweitzer for having killed this idea of Jesus as the evolutionary apex of humanity as presented in these awful Life and Times of Jesus biographies that were done in the 19th century. There's no doubt about the fact that they didn't pay any attention to what Jesus was saying about himself. The problem alongside of that is, however, that Schweitzer refused to face who Jesus really said he was. And you don't have in Schweitzer's Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah any serious acceptance of the prophetic evidence or of the miraculous evidence that Jesus was exactly the person he claimed to be. In other words, Schweitzer, ironically, while criticizing 19th century theology for its modernism and rationalism in trying to create an ideal of evolutionary Jesus, retained all of the negative modernist liberal criticism that the 19th century had directed against the New Testament. And so by eliminating the miraculous from the New Testament, Schweitzer was left with a Jesus who was really just a slight advance on John the Baptist as a kind of final prophet before the fall of Jerusalem. So what one mustn't do is to get overwhelmed by Schweitzer's talents and his accomplishments, and thereby think that automatically his view of theology is correct. Schweitzer was a Lutheran heretic, He was a heretic, and he ultimately left Lutheranism for Unitarianism, which denies the Holy Trinity. And we're sorry to have to say this, but the fact of the matter is you cannot be a Christian believer and not hold to the deity of Jesus Christ and to the truth of the Holy Trinity, which, by the way, Jesus himself maintained. Look at the Great Commission. Go baptizing in the name, one name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, three persons in one Godhead. This is Jesus himself affirming the Trinitarian nature of God. What we have to do is to get our picture of God from sound sources, and the sound sources are going to have to be revelational. And that's why one goes to the New Testament and one doesn't mess around with it. Schweitzer, for example, was willing to accept what he liked in the synoptic gospels, in the first three gospels. He rejected the Gospel of John as a theological interpretation. Now, the fact of the matter is that we can show that the author of the Gospel of John was the apostle. Why? We have a connection with Papias, who was a disciple of John. And under those circumstances, we need to take what the Gospel of John has to say about Jesus, just as we have to take what the first three Gospels have to say about Jesus. And we have to build our picture there. And we don't go to famous people to find out who Jesus was. You don't go to Albert Schweitzer to find out who Jesus was, any more than you go to Luella Parsons to find out who Schweitzer was.
What is the basic problem with all attempts to psychoanalyze Jesus?
Well, they don't have the data. They don't have the data. I mean, it would not be wrong, morally wrong, to do a psychoanalytic treatment of Jesus if you were able to interview him and delve into his background and his childhood and the rest of it, because Jesus was human as well as divine. But there is no way in the world that we could do this. There simply are not enough data in order to achieve this, and so it's hopeless. This is true, by the way, of almost all historical figures. Unless a historical figure has so revealed his relationship with his parents, the relationship with others in his childhood, the conflicts and difficulties that he has faced, this sort of thing, there's just no chance of getting a proper analysis. I have recently taken a university diploma in psychoanalysis, and I would not attempt to do this, to use this kind of approach on any historical figure. You do this with patients where you can delve into the depths of their psyche. And if you do this, you can often achieve amazing results to help them with neuroses, psychoses, and the like. But you're not going to be able to do this with people who are no longer around and who are not available for analysis.
Before we let you go, give us a preview of the 2023 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights.
Well, we're going to have Angus Manouge, formerly the president of the Association of Christian Philosophers. We're going to have, of course, your humble servant. We're going to have Craig Parton and a host of others who are going to be able to give you the best answers to the most pressing objections to Christian faith in our time. The purpose of the Academy, International Academy, is evangelism. What we want to do is to help you prepare yourself so that you are not afraid to get into evangelistic discussions with non-Christians. And the only way not to be afraid is to have the answers. And we provide this kind of thing, and it's really not the sort of thing that you could get anywhere else. It's a two-week program in Strasbourg, France. That's in the French Rhineland. There are wonderful social activities connected with this and cultural trips, theological trips, that sort of thing. But the major value is that when you go back home, you're going to be confident in going to non-Christians, getting them into religious discussion, because you're already going to have the best answers to any objections they're going to raise. Only 20 people are allowed to come at our program each year, and so obviously if listeners are interested in this sort of thing, they need to sign up as quickly as possible.
For more information on the 2023 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 11th through the 22nd in Strasbourg, France, visit the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's professor at large with 1517, the Legacy Project, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 60 books, including Crisis in Lutheran Theology. Dr. Montgomery, thank you.
You're most welcome.
We will be talking about the splitting of the kingdom after Solomon's death, Solomon's fall from grace, and Rehoboam and Jeroboam almost going to war, as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther in 1 Thessalonians with pleasing God, called to holiness, those fallen asleep, like a thief, and destined to obtain salvation. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota has big city anemones with small town feel, civil freedom, and the natural beauty of its namesake waterfalls. It is also home to Christ Lutheran Church, where the living water, Christ Himself, flows. Located near I-90 and I-229, Christ Lutheran offers divine service with Holy Communion each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Learn more about this confessional liturgical parish at ChristSiouxFalls.org. Christ Lutheran Church, building upon Christ.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
When pastors talk about us, they say ad crucem. When laity mention us, they say ad crucem. When telemarketers call us, they say ADC Rucam. But a Luther Rose by any name will smell as sweet. Ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards and artwork, jewelry and ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.